Today I'd like to share with you from Proverbs. So if you'll find your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Proverbs, we're going to look at chapter 4, verses 23 through 5:2. I'm going to ask you in reverence to the Word of God to stand as we read His Word. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your hearts look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. You don't promise us another one. Help us take every day as a gift from you. Lord, today I just ask that you speak to our hearts. Share with us how we can be better servants of yours. How we can be the light you want us to be in a dark and dying world. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for those that are graduating from high school. Lord, the world's ahead of them. And I pray that today you would speak to each one individually to know how to better prepare for what's ahead. For I pray these things in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. For those of us that watch a little probably too much TV, you may know the name Steve Irwin. Anybody know that name? Anybody know him as the Crocodile Hunter? Well, he was the Crocodile Hunter. You know, when we were watching the news and saw that he died, it didn't come as a great shock to me that he died. Anybody that flirt with crocodiles all the time has got to be flirting with disaster, with death. But what did stun the world, what stunned me, was how he died. For those of y'all that don't know, typically speaking, he was flirting with death with crocodiles constantly. And I always expected to see his arm bit off or his head chewed up or something. I expected him to get bit. But he was diving, doing a documentary on stingrays. And the only way a stingray could kill you is by the barb on its tail piercing your heart. And that's how Steve Irwin died. He was pierced by the barb of a stingray. That's what took me by surprise, because he was killed in the heart. Today I want to share with you an important lesson from the book of Proverbs and how we need to guard our hearts. And not only our hearts, but other parts of our body that I'll share with you. The book of Proverbs is not just a book of good manners. In its pages are the keys to genuine living. To the youth preparing to graduate, been there, done that. To those that are trying to manage their home, to those of us that are just concerned about the ills of our society, this book gives us some essential questions and standards for making all decisions. When you're making decisions, ask these two questions. Young people, I challenge you to ask these two questions when you're making a decision. Is this wisdom or folly? And does God lead in this path? I can assure you, speaking from personal experience, if I'd have asked that question, those two questions, there's a lot of things I wouldn't have done the way I did them. Is this wisdom or folly? Does God lead in this path? Through the Old Testament book of Proverbs, God shares with us wisdom. But I personally believe that it's wisdom that is uniquely designed for young people. It's an instruction booklet to help young people avoid mistakes and moral failures that will rob young people of the joy and the well-being as adults. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, one for every day of the month. It's been told to me that Dr. Billy Graham reads a chapter of Proverbs every day, and has been doing that for years. I'm going to try my best to start doing that. And I would challenge you to also do that, because I believe we would be a better church, we would be a better world, and we'd be a whole lot better off if we all simply read a chapter of the book of Proverbs every day. And I know that many of y'all study the Bible a lot more than that. Someone has said that a proverb is just a short sentence based on a great experience. Well, that would be true if we were simply talking about earthly proverbs. But that's not the proverbs that I'm talking about today. These proverbs, the ones we just finished reading, are from God's Word. And they're given to us, each of us, so that we can know God's will for our lives. The word proverb derives from the Latin words pro, meaning for, and verb, meaning word. Thus, a proverb takes the place of a many-worded discourse, like this sermon. One or two lines can change your life a lot more than 30 minutes of me up here talking. God's Word. But please don't discount these short, catchy truisms, because they are directly from God. The rules laid out in these verses constitute an invaluable safeguard for our Christian lives. Since we're attacked every day and at every point, every possible place where sin could gain a foothold in our lives must be guarded against. The heart, the mouth, the eyes, the feet, and the ears. Looking at verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Or in another translation, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." In 2006, our church had the privilege to partner with a couple other churches and adopt a village in Honduras. That village's name was El Portillo, just on the other side of Coyolito. Well, I know y'all know exactly where that is. El Portillo was a small village, and in that village there was no electricity, no comforts of life that we all take for granted every day, and especially there was no water in the village. Now, how many of y'all can honestly say this morning when you got up, you went to the stream with your bucket and gathered your water and brought it back to your house to prepare for church? Well, I don't see any hands raised. But that's the way they had to live life in El Portillo every day. If they wanted water at their house, they had to take their bucket, go down to the stream, and come back to their house. And unfortunately, a lot of the streams in these villages are downstream from the village, and you can imagine what may flow downstream. So there was a man that had a call from God that gave a gift to put in a water system there at the village of El Portillo. We had the chance as a group for 2 years to go down there and work on digging ditches and helping them get water to the village. There was a cistern built on top of a hill. I made the mistake of deciding one day I wanted to walk up there and see that. Probably the toughest hike I've ever made in my life. Matter of fact, there were several people tried it that we had to end up getting taking one person out, and she ended up having to have surgery. So it wasn't an easy trek up to the cistern. But what that did is it provided water to the homes in that village of El Portillo. You know, because that little stream at the top of the hill that filled up that cistern, that ran down the pipes to the homes, was so important. Every attempt by those village people is going to be made to keep that water clean. This source of water, to them, is life-sustaining. The Bible describes your heart in a very similar way. It informs us that the heart is a critical center of life which touches and impacts all we are and all we do. In the Old Testament alone, the word heart is mentioned 800 times. And in these 800 instances, the word heart is not talking about the organ that we know of, the muscle that pumps the blood. It's more or less talking about the mind, the heart, as one. The heart is regarded by many writers as the seat of all consciousness and the will. And guess what I thought it was strange? The brain's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. If the heart was not important to God, then why would He have mentioned it in His Word 800 times in the Old Testament? Solomon tells us to guard our heart, to guard our mind, because out of it flows the issues of life. What this is saying is that you have to understand that thoughts, our thoughts, will control our life. And if you never learn to control your thoughts, you'll never learn to control your life. For those of you that, of course, love the study of the body, you know that life is sustained through the beating of the heart, which beats blood and runs all over your body. You take the blood and stop it from going to your hand, guess what? Your hand's going to die. It's got to have that circulation. It's got to have that blood. Well, William Harvey, back in the 17th century, discovered the circulation of the blood, and that revolutionized medical science. Yet here in Proverbs, which was written some 2,700 years before that, there was a recognition of the importance of the heart and the maintenance of life. The heart symbolizes the center of one's innermost life. Protecting our heart, your heart, should be your highest priority. Let's go back to that cistern at the top of the hill in Honduras. Why don't they just go up there and build them a nice bathhouse and let that water just run into that stream? Or how about some a washateria up there or something where they can wash clothes? They got water up there. I tell you why. Because they need to protect that stream. Just like the village being so careful what goes into that water source, we need to be extra careful what goes into our heart. We need to guard our heart. What more critical place can Satan strike? And believe you me, Satan's attacking you now. Satan attacks us as much as he can. Fleshly attacks are usually aimed right at the heart. It seems that life all around us is filled with reasons to be on our guard and to protect ourselves from loss or damage or theft or respect to our material goods. I wouldn't want to ask, how many of you have security systems on your homes? How many of you have a security system for your heart? And of course, in this post 9/11 world, we have an even greater need and a greater sense of need to be on our alert. But what about spiritual matters? The things that concern our inner man are far more important and eternally consequential than the material goods that we might be able to protect. Out of all the areas in life that force us to take security measures, the Bible presents our effort to protect our heart as the most important of all. You know, if you successfully protect all your material possessions and fail to protect your heart, you know what the Bible warns us? That singular failure will affect all other areas of your life. The cold hard fact is that more personal ruin and eternal loss has been caused by the failure to protect our heart than all the failures to protect material things combined. The issues of life will proceed from the heart, but in the mouth and the lips, that will be doing the speaking. If you turn to Matthew chapter 15, if you take a right-hand turn, as Jimmy would say, Matthew chapter 15, look at verses 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Again, that was Matthew 15, 18 and 19. We must not only guard our heart, we must also have a cautious mouth. Verse 24 in Proverbs says, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." Another translation says, "Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." Someone has put it like this: what's in the well of your heart will come up through the bucket of your mouth. Let me repeat that. What's in the well of your heart will come up through the bucket of your mouth. Oh, how true it is that sooner or later your mouth will reveal what's in your heart. The mouth can get a person into all kinds of trouble. You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time, and you can't fool God none of the time. People, when you fill your mind with God's Word, there's no room for perverse lips or deceitful mouth. In other words, if all that flows into your mouth or out of your mouth are dirty jokes or gossip or slander, or if all that flows from your mouth are words that hurt or words that divide, guess what? You've got a problem with your heart, which in reality, of course, is a problem with your mind. It saddens me to tell you today that in our faith family, we have people that struggle to say anything nice about anything that goes on around this church. We have people that are constantly criticizing everything that's done around here because it's not done the way they want it done. These people, according to what I have read in God's Word, have a heart problem. And I'm here to tell you again that what's in their heart is coming up through the buckets of their mouth. Ephesians 4:29. And I learned it a little different than Jimmy did. I learned Georgia Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." How many times have you heard the saying, like I have, "If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all"? Oh, buddy, I've been told that a few times. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. In Psalms 141, verse 3, David prayed, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." We should all pray that prayer. We should all pray that prayer. Not only do you need a clean heart and a cautious mouth, but we need to control our eyes. Every eye looking at verse 25 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you." Or another translation that I read says, "Fix your gaze directly before you." For those of y'all that have ever seen where I live and know that we have a little bit of a yard to cut, I have tried on several occasions to cut a straight line. I know you've all watched a baseball game. You've seen how nice and manicured those fields are. Well, give up. You can't do that at your house. I've tried just simply to cut a straight line. And what I have found that if I am cutting that line while I'm mowing, if I focus on an object straight ahead and don't take my eyes off of it, I can cut a pretty straight line. But you know, in my pride and my arrogance, I want to look back at my straight line. And guess what happens when I look back? I have taken my eyes off of that object that I focused on, and no longer is my line that I'm cutting straight. I have started zigzagging. Well, you know, just think of the people that we've read about in God's Word, let alone the people we know that took their eyes off of God. We'll start way back in the beginning. What about Eve? If she'd have just kept her eyes on God and not that forbidden tree. Or what about Lot's wife? If she just looked straight instead of looking back. There's many, many, many I could just continue going through. But what about us? How many times have we taken our eyes off of God? You know, the pleasures of sin and the seductions of a tempting world, they don't lie on God's road. So if we keep our eyes focused straight ahead and not on this world, many of the world's temptations won't be there. Going back to that crocodile hunter, if you ever watched his show, you know that very seldom did he spend a lot of time watching us in the camera. What was he doing? He was watching those crocodiles. Why? Because they might bite him. I didn't take offense to that. He was keeping his eyes on the animal. And I believe we should keep our eyes on God. A great bit of temptation you and I face is brought on through our eyes. If you help control your eyes, according to God's Word, you'll eliminate one-third of all temptation. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." You know, the eyes are the most influential part of your body. Most of your memory is formed through your eyes. Here's a statistic that I'm sure some of you know. 80% of what you see, you remember. And only 11% of what you hear. So, y'all probably will remember that I stood up here this morning, but you probably won't remember what I said. Now, I say that, I told the early service this morning that for those naysayers that have criticized our screen system, here's validity to showing you something. Because you're going to remember 80% of what you see. You're only going to remember 11% of what you hear. Continuing on, you not only need to have a clean heart and a cautious mouth and a controlled eye, but we should have careful feet. Looking at verses 26 and 27, it says, "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Oh, I beg you, young people, to be careful where your feet lead you. I would encourage anybody in this room that would like to come up and be a servant to come to our church from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock any day of the week. That's when we help the people that come to our door. Now, we help others in emergencies, like at 6:45 the other night when I was leaving. But at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock every day, we designate that time that we help people that come to our church in need. Recently, I had a man tell me about how he had been arrested as a young man and how he now had a record and how that criminal record had challenged him and prevented him from doing many things throughout the years. In this day and time, when drugs and alcohol are so prevalent, especially amongst young people, how careful we should be. How tragic it is to see the multitudes of young people who are destroying themselves because they do not ponder the path of their feet. I'm here today to tell you that Satan wants you to go down the wrong path, not God's path. Solomon advised in these verses to have an established or planned walk. You know, folks, I applaud you for preparing for this time in your life. It didn't just happen. You had to prepare for graduation, and now you're preparing for the rest of your life. Solomon told us to, and he advised us to have a perfect walk. Don't turn left or right. And a protected walk. Remove your foot from evil. Folks, let me tell you, there are places that we as Christians shouldn't go. And there are doors that we as Christians should never darken. You can control your path. You can control your feet. You need to have careful feet. Let me tell you, young people, something real quick. If I can just forget y'all are here. I graduated from high school one time. Actually, I graduated from high school when I was 16. You know, I was super smart. So I thought. I started college when I was 16. I got kicked out of college before I was 17. I had no business being in college at 16 years old. My parents could have told me that a million times. I wasn't going to listen. I wanted my freedom when I turned 18. I wanted out of my parents' house. I didn't want rules and regulations. I didn't want them telling me what to do. Excuse me, dear. I didn't even want my girlfriend telling me what to do. She was my girlfriend back then. But we broke up for a few years because I wanted my freedom. I moved out. All of a sudden, there was a reality check. The rent's coming due. And guess what? That meant I had to get a job. Because I had to pay the bills. Because contrary to popular belief, there is no free ride. And I'll tell you, the grass is not greener on the other side. Only by the grace of God, only by the grace of God am I here today. There was some paths I went down that I am not proud of. Some things I chose to do that I regret. But only by God's grace am I here to tell you about it today. You know, I could have stayed at home. I could have gone to college. Oh, would it have been easier at 18 years old? Julie, it's not easy going back to college as an adult, is it? I'm proud of you for completing your college education. I've gone back three times, graduated three times, getting ready to go for number four. You're never too old for college. You're never too old to learn. But it's much easier if you do it when you're young and make the right decisions and go down the right paths. Don't let Satan follow you, fool you into following his lies. We all need to be careful. We all need to be careful where we place our feet and where our feet lead us. But not only do we need a clean heart and a cautious mouth and a controlled eye and a careful foot, we need a consecrated or a devoted ear. Look at it, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge." You know, there's no hearing underwater. I don't know if you've ever tried that. When I was growing up, we had a pool. I remember going underwater, screaming as loud as I could at a friend of mine, and all it got me was a mouthful of water, because you can't hear underwater. So going back to Steve Irwin, if his companions that saw that stingray getting too close were trying to warn him, they couldn't. With almost monotonous regularity, Solomon pleads with us to pay attention. Parents, young people, have you ever heard the saying, pay attention to me? I'm trying to talk to you. Pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Pay attention. Well, unfortunately, how many of us have also heard the phrase, don't do as I do as I say? How can we expect our children to listen to our words if we're not setting the example ourselves? I know most of you have heard the saying, what you are speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. Even the writer of these verses struggled with practicing what he preached. For those of y'all that know Solomon, he had some issues. But I believe the words of Solomon in God's Word are divinely inspired, and we must heed them as the highest wisdom. You've heard the old saying, you got your ears on? Well, we need to have our ears on. But there's going to be times that we're going to have to put some earplugs in. Anybody been to a movie lately? It's horrible. They take a perfectly good movie and ruin it with words that don't even need to be there. Even in G and PG, it's just sad what our world has come to. But these are the times that we must stick the earplugs in and know that we're serving God. You know, when I read these verses in total, the word that comes to my mind is the word discernment. Discernment simply means the ability to determine and choose the good from the bad, the right from the wrong. It's characteristic of maturity to be discerning. Infants lack discernment. I've had a joy over the last 2 years playing with my granddaughter. But as a toddler, she used to crawl around the house or around the yard or wherever she was. And as she crawled around, if there was a Cheerio on the floor, she picked it up, and guess where it went? In her mouth. If there was a piece of crayon on the floor, guess where it went? In her mouth. If there was a dead bug on the floor, guess where it went? In her mouth. She had no discernment. She really didn't care whether it was edible or not. Little children lack the important ability to be discerning. Sadly, many adults and young people lack that same ability. It is a characteristic that comes from your heart. We don't discriminate between what's good for us and what's bad. We'll let just about anything contaminate or pollute our spiritual life. We often spend more time guarding and protecting our property than our soul. We spend more time watching our diet than watching our spirit. We spend more time scrutinizing our financial assets than our thought life. We fail to watch our heart. And because of it, we suffer loss. We need to live a daily life that's characterized by obedience to God's command and the avoidance of sin. And such a lifestyle, such a walk, requires that we carefully watch and protect our heart, because it's from the heart that we live out our daily life. Someone wisely said that if you plant a thought, you reap an action. If you plant that action, you're going to reap a habit. If you plant that habit, you're going to reap a characteristic. And if you plant that characteristic, you're going to reap a destiny. All these things are related to one, our thoughts. I plead with each person here, especially young people, to guard your heart. Watch over your heart. with all diligence, because from it flows the issues of life. There's a lot of people here today that know about Jesus and have Him in their heart. But there's also people here, I'm sure, that have Him only in their mind. They have head knowledge and not heart knowledge. I hope today can be the day that you move that knowledge from your head to your heart. It's the difference in eternity, in heaven or hell. Today, if you're here and you're not serving, I plead today would be the day that you start serving. If you're not in a church family, join this one. Today should be the day that you start serving and trying to have a clean heart. Guard your heart. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank You for this time. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, today would be the day. Lord, I pray for decisions that need to be made. And I pray, Lord, for each of us that know we're not guarding our hearts like we should. Satan is alive and well, and he doesn't want us following You. I pray, Lord, that we keep our eyes controlled and focused on You so that we can follow You now and forever. For I pray these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.